Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Now, the boy has been back and forward to town many's and many's a time, and he's on the line at the moment, Eric Bell. Eric, good morning.
Hiya, Fry.
Thanks for joining us on the programme, Eric. I must say, when you think of all the people you've been involved with musically down the years, and I think one of the very first ones would have been Van himself, and then the forming of Thin Lizzy, you must look back on the idea of creating Thin Lizzy as a massive success in life.
Yeah, well, no one knew what was going to happen. You know, I was living in Dublin with a show band, left the show band, and proceeded to try and find musicians to form a three-piece band. And I was just incredibly lucky, right place at the right time, and the right people, meeting Philip and Brian, and then the whole thing started to take off, you know.
How impressed were you with Phil and with Brian Downey when you first met them?
Very impressed. They were in a band called Orphanage, and I was in the club the night they were playing. It was the first time I ever seen them. And Brian Downey's drumming was something. And then I started talking to Philip at the break of the gig, and he told me he had some songs written, so... a week later, we sat and listened to his songs, which were fabulous. So I was very lucky meeting those two guys.
And did you note Phil's quality, the personality he had, or was that something that he developed almost for the stage show?
Well, if you're a black guy that speaks in a very broad Dublin accent, and... you know, you look the way that Philip looked. There was definitely star potential there, you know.
And you were impressed by the songs that he had, because the first songs obviously had a very Irish influence to them, but with a special Thin Lizzy stamp on them to make them different from anything else we'd heard.
Well, when I heard Philip's songs first, I'd only known him, I think it was the second time I'd ever met him, and he brought a tape up to my flat, and he had three songs on it, just him and an acoustic guitar. And we sat down and listened to them, and I just knew there and then the guy had something, you know. And I also knew my guitar playing would fit into his songs. I just thought this, you know.
And would you have been as impressed with Phil Lynott as you might have been with Van Morrison?
Well, Van was a different kettle of fish, really. Van had been to the States and toured in England, recorded an album in England, had one or two hit records whenever I met him. So he had this charisma about him when I met him. You know, he was just... he's just a very, very sort of famous bloke, you know. And, there was something about him as well. These guys that you meet, they write their own material. They try and sing the way they want to sing, and so on. Okay. And Philip and Van, obviously, both of them had this.
Yeah, you obviously, Eric, weren't like a one-trick pony. You weren't going to just stick with one outlet to ensure that your rock and roll pathway was smooth. You were prepared to move from one project to the other and involve yourself with so many different other singers and musicians. Of course, you know, part of that would have involved working with Gary Moore as well. But away from working with Gary, you worked with a whole series of other people.
I just wanted to I just wanted to play the guitar for my living, and it's like a bit of a joke, you know, like trying to do that in Belfast around 1960, whatever it was, 1964. It was the equivalent of an elephant walking backwards upside, you know.
So it must have been a hell of a challenge. We look back on it and think that doors were opening for everyone all the time, but compared to today, with the communication system we have today, to make it in rock and roll back in the late 60s, early 70s, especially with the challenges that people were facing in Belfast, it must have been something of a miracle.
Yeah, it was. Well, I mean, the thing about Belfast was I'd left Belfast about 3 months before the actual troubles started. So I wasn't in Belfast at that point in time. I was just sort of trying to make a living out of playing the guitar, and it wasn't easy, you know. I had loads of 9-to-5 jobs at the same time as practicing at night. Today's music scene, I don't know basically what's going on. You know?
it's certainly a different one, and it's probably a lot easier to manufacture it now. I'm just wondering, was it as good on the road? Was it as exciting as it seems? I once was lucky enough to meet Phil Lynott's mother, and I shared a taxi with her, and she was an amazing woman to listen to, and she told me about a night whereby Phil arrived home with a few lads, and the next morning she made them breakfast, and it was Johnny Rotten and the Sex Pistols. Like, that must have been a hell of a life to be leading.
Yeah, you meet all types of characters, and it's also the music business. I suppose it's the same as the film world. You start getting into this particular circus, if you want to call it that, and you know, it can be quite a dangerous place. Obviously, the amount of alcohol and drugs that's available. It's just, you know, you got to watch yourself. That's what it's like.
Yeah,
it is very exciting.
Is that what drew you eventually to the likes of West Cork, to be away from that scene, or did you find it sort of creative to be where the water was beating against the rocks?
Yeah, whenever I moved to West Cork, I mean, I'm living in Carrickdore now, but when I lived in West Cork, it was fabulous. I had a beautiful house and all the rest of it. But it's sort of in the middle of nowhere, you know, living in West Cork. And it wasn't really Hollywood, you know what I mean? It was, gigs were few and far between, and people wanted to hear certain types of music down there. You know, it was a good scene, but it was difficult.
Yeah. So you're happy to be back in this part of the world now, and you're going to be... Stuart Bailey and yourself are teaming up for what looks like a heck of an event. Is that on the 12th of November, part of the Sounds of Belfast? It's in conversation. This is going to be a very interesting project. You'll be talking about the book as well. It's been out for a while, remembering before, during and after Thin Lizzy. It's an incredible story that obviously you'll have time to tell it all to Stuart.
Yes, I don't know what he's going to throw at me, you know. it's a bit of a... I've never done that type of thing before. Well, I've never written a book before. So, it's going to be interesting, I would say.
And if people do want to get the book at present, and I'm sure Thin Lizzy fans probably have a grasp on it already, just remind us of where they can access it.
Well, believe it or not, you can get it in Waterstones, as far as I know, for a start. Also, if you look up the Eric Bell, excuse me, the Eric Bell Facebook, on the Eric Bell official website, it's also on Amazon as well.
So it's certainly available and it's certainly there. One final point, Eric. I remember that beautiful song that was released, and I think it was the boys out of Skid Row who brought it to the fore whenever Phil died, about the fishing boats at Howth. Beautiful, beautiful song. Old Pal, I think, was the name of it. At that time when Phil Lynott did die and was laid to rest, an incredibly sad time for the music industry, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was also... It was a surprise, and it wasn't, if you know what I mean. I mean, Philip, you know, I lived with a guy and played with alongside him for about 4 years. So he got into sort of a heavy scene, you know, obviously, with certain substances. And he got very unlucky with hepatitis and this, that, and the other. It was a surprise, and in a way it wasn't, if you know what I mean, of Philip passing.
Yeah, the lifestyle just got the better of him, which is
absolutely.
So sad. You know, as a seasoned campaigner, Eric, what would you say to the younger guys who are on that scene at the moment, okay, playing to a different audience in a different town, so to speak, but it's still the same ambition to be famous, to have your songs recognised, to be on the crest of the wave. You know, what is a highly respected seasoned rocker in his 70s say to those youngsters?
Give up. I would just say to anybody, if you've got something, you know, if you've got some little bit of talent or whatever, work at it, you know, like work at it, do your own thing, because you're going to meet people that's going to say, oh, you don't want to do this, or you don't want to do that, and I would sort of keep them at arm's length and just do what I do, you know. But I think they have to work, like, very, very, very hard, sort of dedicated, because Philip was always writing songs, writing lyrics. We were always practicing. So you got to put the work in before, I think, anything is going to happen, you know.
Yeah, you've got to make it happen, and you can
make it happen.
I'm just wondering, is there a cassette lying somewhere with a song that hasn't been released that yourself and AI could make it happen, just like the Beatles did, and there could be one last roll of the dice, or is that not possible?
I don't know about AI at all, you know. I've sort of like a... Well, I don't want to put myself down, but sometimes you feel like a dinosaur, you know, in the days of technology.
Well, Eric, you wouldn't be putting yourself down by being modest, because you have indeed been one of the modest superstars the whole way through your life. I really appreciate you coming on the programme, and it's a legendary name associated with the Irish and indeed global music industry. It's great having you on the programme, and look forward to hearing what you're going to be saying to Stuart at that special event on the 12th of November. And indeed, people who want to read the book, Remembering Before, During and After Thin Lizzy, the autobiography of Eric Bell, is available. Eric, thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
Okay, Frank, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time. That is Eric Bell here on U105. It's coming up on 11:30. Good morning to you. 02890-333-105, 077-66-105-105 for whatever is on your mind. We can fit it in here on the U105 phone-in.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.